This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, midweek here on a Wednesday as we welcome you in. Hope you're having a nice week. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, downtown Las Vegas, Fremont Street there at the D, Bar Canada. A busy show. By the way, boys, I'm just seeing right now, I don't know if you guys saw the news, I say hi to both of you. It looks like Justin Fields has been ruled out for tomorrow. Just seeing that come across right now. So I'm now taking a look, and we're showing Thursday Night Football. Tomorrow night, of course, in Chicago, Carolina and Bryce Young. I'm showing Chicago 3.5, 38.5 on the total. Do either of you remember, is that the number we were sitting on yesterday, 3.5?
I thought it was 4, and then I think we saw this move down to 3.5. And, Patrick, really, with Fields not playing, I'm not surprised this move is this line is moving in favor of the Panthers.
Okay, now I am also seeing Eberflus said he's doubtful. Doubtful that he's going to play, but said he'd give it one more day before ruling him out. But those covering the Bears are saying that he is not going to play. So let me just, to be fair to both of you in the audience, let me just clarify. We're kind of in that tweener phase. My assumption is if you do want to take a shot and jump ahead of the quarterback move, my assumption is on a short week like this, Fields won't play. But that's what we're hearing right now. Tommy DeVito. That is some news for you, big guy. Dustin Sweetelson, we say hi to you. It looks like Tommy DeVito is going to start for the Giants this week versus the Cowboys. Matt Barkley is going to serve as his backup. So the bada bing experience continues in Jersey.
Let Tommy cook, man. Let's see what he's got. Sling it 40, 50, 60 times a game. Run a Big 12 offense with Tommy DeVito. See how it works out. I want to make sure we know every throw that he can and can't make and let him do it multiple times. Just keep slinging it downfield.
I know you're being sarcastic, but I saw the tape at Syracuse and him play. Dino Babers didn't let him cook. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, Dino wants to slang, and Tommy wasn't allowing it to happen.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Facts. Do you, as we start up today's show, there's a couple things. One, we've got a full slate off Election Day NBA. I did just get news. Zion is out at the Wolves. Minnesota's a legit team this year. New Orleans, Zion out for personal reasons. I do have a prop tonight, and I have a side play in the NBA. We'll get to those in just a little bit as the in-season tournament continues to cook. Speaking of which, we've got 3 games on the ice, college basketball, 12 games tonight, which we'll get to. So plenty to do, and of course some action again tonight. I just thinking about Tommy DeVito starting for the Giants. Before we get into what I've got set up for the start of today's show, we're midway through the NFL season, and boys, I want to go through the divisions, okay? I've come up with 2 teams in each division, essentially, except one division where I'm going to throw odds at you, and let's find out if we can see some value digging through some of these NFL division plays, and we'll do that coming up in just a bit. But we talked about the Giants. Quick, snap call on the most disappointing season thus far. The reason I bring it up is because it's hard to find a team more disappointing than a team that made the postseason last year. Even though it wasn't necessarily an overwhelming season for the Giants, but the Giants have been dreadful this year.
I would have to agree with that. The only one that I would even consider would be the Chicago Bears. I thought they would expect to win 6 to 7 games. I just didn't believe the Giants were as good as their postseason appearance last year. And then I thought they got even more hype with Daniel Jones' legs being effective against the Minnesota Vikings. I'm not a believer in this team. I think they need to go in a rebuild mode or mold. And when you look at it right now from Dustin's perspective, they should be tanking to potentially get Caleb Williams or Drake May. My question is, if you're the Giants, though, can you move away from that Daniel Jones contract? If you can, you move on from it.
You can. They have outs after 2 years, so after next year. So there's no problem drafting a quarterback there. You'll be a little cash-stripped for one season, but the contract was set up because they sort of believed in Jones, but they didn't completely. So they do have outs after 2 years where they can get away from it.
Your options would be the Patriots are sitting 2-7, boys. That's not great. Denver all of a sudden has won 2 straight, but they're 3-5. That's disappointing from expectations-wise with Peyton in year one. I mentioned the Giants sitting 2-7. Arizona 1-8, that's not a disappointment. That's what the expectations. Amal mentioned Chicago, Dustin at 2-7, definitely disappointing. 1-7 for Carolina. They were picking number one overall, so I don't know if you can call that a disappointment, though they have disappointed, no doubt. Those are the teams, because a lot of it is parity. A lot of teams sitting, 4-5, 5-3.
Can I give you one that maybe they don't have the worst record, and they're above 500 by a game, but to me, the Buffalo Bills might be the most disappointing.
Good
I know
one.
They've had some injuries on the defensive side of things, but they just don't look like the same team that's gone to AFC title games, that has gone toe-to-toe with Mahomes and the Chiefs. They just don't have that same edge they used to. They've lost it. There's not enough creativity on offense. The defense is letting everyone move up and down the field. And when you look at their losses, remember, they lost to the Jets opening day after Rodgers went down. So they lost to a full game of Zach Wilson. They lost to the Jaguars overseas in London. They lost at New England, and New England is atrocious. New England scored 29 points against this defense. They're one of the worst offenses in the league. And then I won't be too hard losing at Cincinnati, where Cincinnati's hit their stride. But it's still been a very disappointing season for the Bills.
Yeah, Patrick, I like the call on Buffalo. A couple
Good
things
one.
To me.
Me too.
Losing Tremaine Edmonds in free agency to Chicago, I thought was a big blow. Then you get Matt Milano, who's injured, and then Tre'Davious White, who's also in the secondary, tremendous player who's injured. So those are some factors. But I don't think the one thing that gets enough criticism, and I had Josh Allen as a top five quarterback coming into the season. I have downgraded him. He's somewhere between 6 and 10. He's too much of a turnover machine. Dustin referenced the game against Cincinnati. We talked about it a couple of days ago. Neither of us, we thought that Cincinnati was in full control of that football game. If you backed Buffalo or if you're a Bills fan, you never felt like they were going to win that football game. It was Cincinnati's all day. I like the call on New England that you had there. I am not as disappointed in New England because I wasn't a believer in them. Look, the reality is it's starting to show itself in terms of Bill Belichick's track record without Tom Brady. I know I've been harping on this for a few years, but at the end of the day, it speaks for itself. This team has failed in so many different avenues, and you go back to his days in Cleveland. I don't think it should come as much of a surprise to people as it may right now where the New England Patriots are sitting.
Yeah, it's a good experiment, and I think Buffalo's a good one, Dustin. Even though sitting above 500, I agree with what you both said about them. And with that, let's start the experiment today. Let's dive into the eight divisions. We'll start AFC, and since you said Buffalo, let's go AFC East. We're going to use the numbers over at DraftKings and see if we can find, you know, obviously the term value is being overused in this space, but we'll see if we can find a price that interests us division to division. Now, as you look at the AFC East right now, of course, you've got Miami sitting atop at 6-3. They're 2-1 in division. However, Buffalo, who's sitting right now 5-4, they do hold the head-to-head right now. And again, these two teams are going to play one another to close out the regular season. So this could be. I was just taking a look, though. If you look at Buffalo's schedule, boys, not necessarily short-term because they've got Denver, they've got the Jets. But then look at this little run they go on. They've got at Philly. They got a bye. They go at Kansas City. They come out of it, and they get Dallas. So there's going to be a tough stretch for a team that has underachieved. If you're thinking about Buffalo, they kind of lack that number two as far as a wide receiver. Dalton Kincaid making a push. The safeties are aging. Matt Milano, as you pointed out yesterday, Dustin, that was a killer for them, kind of just a run stopper. It's a team that doesn't run the football, although Emery told us yesterday they can. And then conversely, Amal, you highlighted Miami when we talked about the load this week, and it's a team that's 6-3. They average 39 points against teams below 500. They average 17 against teams above 500. Quintessential bullies, the Dolphins.
No question about it, and I like your call here in terms of breaking down this division. Miami right now sitting as a minus 285 favorite, but guys, I just want to introduce myself. My name is Amal. I have a problem, and my drug of choice is the Jets. At 7-1, I can't stop. Well, they get the Dolphins twice. And when you look at the schedule, which Patrick just pointed out with Buffalo, Kansas City, the Chargers, the Cowboys, this is not an easy schedule. But Miami still has the Ravens, the Cowboys coming up, and the Jets twice. I don't know, man. I'm going to go to the poorhouse.
No, I mean, I like it.
Just the odds at 7-1. If for some reason Rodgers comes back, guys, from a unit standpoint, I know people like Miami's offense, but I think the Jets have the best unit in this division. Their defense,
That's a bad job hosting by me. Let me just set you guys up. So, as Amal mentioned, Miami right now minus 225. The Bills, if you do expect course correction, there is plus 270. The Jets are 7-1, and obviously the Patriots aren't even in the mix at 25-1. So, or 250-1.
How about the season win total for the Bills is 9.5 right now in season. So they should beat Denver. They should theoretically beat the Jets, but the Jets did beat them with the current roster as is in week one. Let's say they win those two. We're at 7. Then it's at Philly, at Kansas City, versus the Cowboys. They're not winning any of those three. They cannot hang with that Cowboys defense, even though they're a bit fraudulent as a team overall. They're probably not going to L.A. and beating the Chargers, even though everyone hates Brandon Staley, but let's give them that one. So now we're sitting at 8 wins. They beat New England, and then Miami, it comes down to it. It's a really interesting number at 9.5 in season.
I think they can get to 10 wins. I can't wait for them to play Dallas. That's going to be a short number, less than a field goal. I will take Buffalo at home in that matchup. Dallas is a good football team, but again, the Cowboys have a similar situation to the Miami Dolphins. They beat up on teams that they're supposed to and dominate, but then when they play against tougher competition, Patrick, they can't seem to deliver.
The Jets 7-1. I think the three of us consensus wise would agree you can't lay 225 in division with the Dolphins, correct?
Not based on what we've seen so far. The comp from Miami to the Cowboys is perfect. Those franchises are almost identical right now. They're gonna beat up on the bad teams, questions about if they're tough enough to handle the really good teams, questions with the quarterback in big spots coming up clutch. I think that's apropos. Those organizations are very identical to me, and that's why they're that next tier above the contenders.
They are exactly Penn State. They'll beat up on everybody they're supposed to. Can't win the big games.
Although your Jets would prefer Drew Aller at this point over Zach Wilson.
You're right about that.
I think we could probably, and he is,
they'd go back
Michigan.
To
they're going to find out this weekend. Yeah, it's either the Bills at plus 270 or the Jets at 7-1. Jets for Amal, big guy. Let's go ahead and pick a price here.
I would take the Bills, even though I just said they've been the most disappointing. They're always
That's what we do on Sharp Money. It is a walking television contradiction. It's okay. We're having fun with it. And we'll make it easy coming back with the AFC West.
Is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, DraftKings, download the app, and new customers, when you use the promo code SHARP, bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly right now. Again, new customers, DraftKings, promo code SHARP, $5 to get $200, and everybody at DraftKings, a no sweat, same game parlay every day. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We got you back here. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Amal Shaw, downtown Las Vegas, there at the D, of course, hanging out with Dustin Sweetelson. We're going to have Colin Thompson, former NFL tight end, coming up in just a little bit. As we keep it going, we've got Mike Palm, VP of the Circa, the D Golden Gate, with Palm and the Prince. A little debate coming up in just a bit. We've got Scott Spritzer, Jerry Palm, to join as well from CBS Sports. So a lot to do as Wednesday continues along. A couple of notes. I don't know if you guys saw any updates, but Eberflus, it sounded like Eberflus went in his presser today and gave away what he didn't want to give away, which was Justin Fields won't be playing tomorrow night on Thursday night at home, kick off a new week against Carolina, and then pulled it back and said, well, he's probably not going to play, but I'll make it official tomorrow. Let me just take a look. If you see the number, Amal, jump in here. I saw a couple of shops go from 3.5 to 3. So, again, you assume it was baked in that Fields wasn't going to play, but yesterday we were sitting 4.
Yeah, I'm seeing 3.5 minus 120 on Carolina right now. By the way, The Athletic is reporting that Fields not medically cleared to play for Thursday night. That was 6 minutes ago. So I have to assume he's not going to go.
Yeah, good call. So that's what we opened with, that quarterback news. Always very, very important, including Tommy DeVito. I don't know what you do with the price with the Giants at this point with DeVito. The forward pass does matter in 2023, and that's not exactly a strong suit as the Giants head to Dallas. Dallas in a good – you know the number, right? Have you seen it?
I saw it. It reminded me of the Pats in 07 against the Packers, 16.5, 17. You know, Patrick, the total I think is 38. You can get a Giants team total 11.5. It's probably your best play going under.
Yeah, it is a dispirited Giants team right now. It's look, Daniel Jones gets crushed, but when he went down with the ACL, the knee, you could just feel in Vegas the energy getting sucked out of that Giants team as well. Tommy DeVito going to be your starter in Dallas. It looks like Colin's ready to go. Colin Thompson, former NFL tight end. We're going to get him set up here. SiriusXM NFL radio host. He is the founder of Not For Long Media. You can find Colin on Twitter at Colin Thompson TU, of course. the Gators, Temple, AAF, XFL, NFL, and now here on Sharp Money. Hi, Colin. How are you, buddy?
Doing great. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, thank you for joining. We were just talking about the Giants. So walk us through what it feels like to be in a locker room. I don't know if you have been, where all of a sudden you're midway through the year and the season's lost. Tommy DeVito going to be starting. We're not crushing DeVito here, but they're headed to Dallas, and Dallas is laying 17 points. Take me inside that Giants locker room right now.
Well, I have been in those locker rooms, sadly, with the Carolina Panthers the last few years. Last year the sky was falling. You know, within 3 weeks, Christian McCaffrey got traded, Matt Rhule got fired, and Baker Mayfield got cut. It's devastating. You know, every player is going to say it's a profession. You're going to go out there and do your job and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, your season's, you know, in limbo, you know, and that's really tough. And that means people are going to get fired. Players are going to get fired. Coaches are going to get fired, whatever it may be. I'm not saying in particular the Giants, but usually when you're on a slide like that, the people that are in the room with you right now aren't going to be here next year, and you may be one of them. So that is a really hard pill to swallow. That's a tough pill to go home and talk to your wife about or your spouse about, too, about what's going on at work. So what's going on in their locker room? You know, guys are being ultimate professionals, trying to find ways to put their best foot forward, put a win down on the table. But it's really tough. It's really tough professionally. And like I said, in Carolina, really the last all 3 years I was there, we didn't really have a ton of hope other than maybe that first year.
Colin, you mentioned you were there in Carolina. Steve Wilks takes over for Matt Rhule in week number 6 last year. Take us through what the disposition of the players and the team is like when you have a coaching change, because we saw a huge infusion of energy with the Raiders. Is that sustainable with Antonio Pierce moving forward?
Good question.
That's a great question. In Carolina, there was a lot of players that were, you know, of course, like you're for your coach. The guy brought you in. He signed you. Like, he believed in you. And when he gets fired, like a piece of you gets fired with him. At least that's how I felt in a lot of it in Carolina. But when Coach Wilks came in, there was a certain jolt to it, right? You almost come in and you take an opposite approach of Coach Rhule. Antonio Pierce seems like he's taking an opposite approach of what was there in Oakland before. So it's a fresh start. It's a turn of the page, and you're playing for a new opportunity in front of you. What's that opportunity? Strengths and wins together, and then play for yourself in a way, because if you do well, you're getting paid next year and things like that. So there's always something to play for in the league. We don't play for free, but there's an emotional side of it too, where, you know, you play for a losing team. That's no fun.
Colin, let's talk about your Panthers and tomorrow night, Thursday night. Maybe you can kind of give us an insight into how brutal Thursday nights are for a player, that quick turnaround. Carolina's at Chicago. Fields looks like he's going to be ruled out, and Chicago's favored by 3.5 here. Walk us through the Panthers-Bears matchup here.
Yeah, Thursday night, that's a tough one. You know, if you play a big game, say Sunday, and you wake up feeling like you get hit by a Mack truck on Monday morning, like these defensive linemen that are playing really high volume, high speed reps all the time, to get your body back to normal, you're looking at Thursday or Friday. Well, you're already playing a game Thursday night on the road. That's tough for Carolina. Now you have the mini bye week, which is great. And players are going to try to go into that mini bye week, I can guarantee you, with a win. So you're going to get Carolina's best effort, because there's no better thing than a weekend off and a win to go with it. So we'll see. I mean, listen, the quarterbacks in these games, right, we don't know who's healthy, who's not healthy. Bryce Young, people are talking about C.J. Stroud and shoulda, coulda, wouldas, but he's a great quarterback. Time will tell. It's the quarterback position in the NFL. It's the hardest thing to do on the planet. So it'll be okay. That Carolina roster's got a lot of talent and players on it. The Bears do too. There's a couple different guys to watch. If you're looking for something in Carolina, watch Frankie Louvo on defense, 49 for Carolina. Probably the best player in the league that nobody knows about. The sweat trade of him going over to Chicago is another thing to watch too.
Colin, you played an interesting position at tight end. You have to be part of the offensive line in terms of run blocking and even times pass protection, and then in terms of catching the ball. Take me through how difficult that position is to be learning very quickly. And then when you get a situation like Josh Dobbs, guy comes in middle of the week, doesn't know the playbook, doesn't even know teammates' names, to be able to do what he did in Atlanta on Sunday. Just the magnitude of it, because you just mentioned a second ago, quarterback, and rightfully so, is the hardest position in sports.
Yeah, I'll be brief about the tight end position. It's nowhere near the quarterback position. You are responsible for an entire huddle when you're a quarterback. Tight end, yes, there's constant disadvantage. That's how I explain it. You're going against guys that are bigger, stronger, than faster than you at defensive line position. You're trying to outrun players that are quicker than you in coverage, that are smaller than you in coverage, so you're constantly at a disadvantage. Quarterback, what people think of quarterback, times it by 100, and that's how hard it is. I can't imagine. I played in that offense in Minnesota this past training camp. It took me a full training camp to get comfortable in the offense, just in my little tight end world, which is the entire offense, but I'm not calling the play. I'm not coming up with the cadence. I'm not checking versus this coverage and that coverage. And what Josh Dobbs did, I said it on my show. I said it on the SiriusXM show last night, where there should be an award named after him, because the Journeyman Award, Baker Mayfield should have got it last year. Like, to go from team to team and win at that clip, so impressive. And Minnesota was my team in the second half of the season. I stayed pat on that. They're a really good team, great coach, and Jobs and whoever else at quarterback, they'll figure out to make it happen. Coach O'Connell's a great coach.
Colin, we just got a minute. We were just talking about Minnesota because it's a big price in division. They've won four straight. And O'Connell, tell us a little bit about the head coach. We don't know a ton about him in Minnesota.
Yeah, what an unbelievable person. Like, this is a guy who like played quarterback in the NFL and has that mindset, right? And then he has like this elite leadership, relatability, like cool Southern California guy mindset. Tall, big presence, like just something about him, the reason why they're having success there in Minnesota. And then for them to overcome coaching staff-wise, losing players like Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins and still win football games with a quarterback that comes in on an early week, the place is unbelievable. It's a first-class organization, and Coach O'Connell has a lot to do with it.
Great answer. Colin Thompson, of course, a former tight end there. SiriusXM NFL radio host, doing a great job. Not for long media. We'll talk to you. Let's do it again in a couple of weeks here at Colin Thompson TU on Twitter. Thank you, Colin. Appreciate it.
Guys, have a great day. Enjoy some football.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Got a couple of minutes there with Colin. We were setting up his Skype, but he did a great job. Good booking there for the big guy. You know what? Our little 8-1 on the Vikings got a little juice there with that answer. Because O'Connell, I could never get a feel for him all because it's kind of quiet. Like you said, he's a California guy, but he liked his presence there in the locker room.
I love the way he described him. The only thing I know about O'Connell is dad's a former FBI agent. You know, probably commands some authority, as he alluded to. This team, watch out.
Yeah, watch out for an 8-1 Vikings team in the north, and watch out for Mike Palm. He's next.
NBA fans, the wait is over. Basketball is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, is celebrating with an unbeatable offer. New customers can get $200 in bonus bets instantly for betting just $5 on the NBA. Win or lose, it doesn't matter. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SHARP. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, licensee partner Golden Nugget Lake Charles, Louisiana. 21 plus. Age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours. After issuance. See sportbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. If you didn't catch Follow the Money, here's what you missed.
The Browns are now, this number opened up 5 for the Ravens at home, total of 40.5. It has since moved. Ravens are now 5.5, and the total's down to 39.5.
Too short. Gotta take the Ravens here. Gotta put them in pocket as well. Which, I don't know what I'm gonna get from Watson. But again, this is just a ferocious freight train right now, what Baltimore's doing. This is just, I mean, what they did to Detroit, what they did to Seattle. They already buried Cleveland in the first meeting.
That was a DTR game, though.
Sure. But, what's Watson going to do?
I mean, well, DTR was maybe the worst performance we've had from any quarterback the entire year.
This is a great, great Baltimore defense. And the season that Jackson's having and this offense, they can't win this game by a touchdown? I got to take them at home.
Follow the Money, weekdays at 7 a.m. Eastern, 4 a.m. Pacific on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Let's check out the latest Heisman odds as things are going to come down to the wire. I'm Tim Murray from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Washington's Michael Penix Jr. remains the favorite at plus 140. Huskies 9-0 start to the season. Just defeated USC 52-42. Penix, 26 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Up next, a home showdown against Utah. Bo Nix from Oregon, he sits at plus 210. He has thrown for 2,723 yards so far this year, 25 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. The Ducks have just 1 loss on the year. Up next for them, a home showdown against USC. J.J. McCarthy of Michigan is at plus 650. They get Penn State on the road this week. Do the Wolverines. Carson Beck from Georgia sits at 12-1. And Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State, 18-1.
For more, head to VSiN.com.
Hey guys, Sean Stacking the Money Green here with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer from the Sports Gambling Podcast, to let you know, alert the misses, date night is canceled this football season.
Instead of checking out the latest rom-com, tune into VSiN every Friday night for our props, picks, and best bets in the National Football League.
That's right, the Sports Gambling Podcast is live every Friday, 9 p.m. Pacific on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Betting November has never been better. Get an edge on betting all the college and pro sports with a VSiN Pro subscription that takes you through the biggest events in sports. For only $120, VSiN Sports Equinox Special unlocks everything we have to offer through May 1st. You'll get exclusive betting content for the NFL, college football, including all bowl games, March Madness, the NBA and NHL regular seasons, and the NFL Draft. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe today.
This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We'll send you the picks. We'll send you everything for $120 right now. VSiN.com/subscribe. Make sure you check that out. Also, if you're looking for more, Mike Palm, he's co-hosting VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray today and Thursday. Lombardi Line on Fridays with Pritch and Femi. And, of course, Live Bet Saturday with Ben Wilson, though Ben out this Saturday and Amal Shaw in. So make sure you check that out. 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. 1 to 4 Pacific. I bring that up because they're going to be debating coming up on Saturday. It's time for a debate here on Sharp Money as we welcome you back. Palm versus the Prince. You know how this works, boys. You've got 30 seconds apiece. We give you a topic. You debate. The coin flip before the show showed Amal Shaw goes first. Dustin and I will judge. Dustin, are you good with the timer?
We are good with the stopwatch. Ready to go.
Okay, question number one. Amal Shaw, you're up first. C.J. Stroud is the best rookie quarterback since fill in the blank.
Dan Marino, 1983, when he was with the Miami Dolphins. He was outstanding. But C.J. Stroud, I could not think of any other quarterback that you would compare to what Dan Marino was able to do with the Miami Dolphins. For me, I'm going with Marino.
Well, that's nice, Amal. Maybe your memory doesn't go back to 2016 when Dak Prescott went 13-3 as a rookie for the Dallas Cowboys. 23 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. Dan Marino in 83 was 20 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. A 96 quarterback rating for Marino in his rookie year. 104.9 for Dak. Offensive rookie of the year. Led the Cowboys to the 1 seed in the NFC.
Okay. There it is, boys. Next one up, Amal. You went first, so it goes to the T-Box. Mr. Palm, if Jim Harbaugh leaves Michigan, who should they hire? Michigan.
Interesting question here. I'm going to go with Dave Aranda, the head coach at Baylor. Had top 10 ranked defenses at both the University of Wisconsin and LSU. Won the conference 2 years ago with Baylor and went to the Sugar Bowl and won it. He's young. He's 47. He's a great defensive mind. Dave Aranda.
I'm going to go with Jed Fish, University of Arizona. He's got a team that's rolling right now in the Pac-12. They're sitting at 6-3, playing great football. They had an upset win against a UCLA team that was rolling last year in the Rose Bowl. Turn around, get a victory against them this year. Should have beaten USC. They lose on a two-point conversion. That was the difference in that game before USC went on their tailspin. I think Jed Fish would be a tremendous hire, particularly from an offensive standpoint for Michigan.
Palm versus the Prince. It's time for the Prince. Who is more likely to miss the college football playoff, Georgia or Florida State, Amal?
Georgia. Florida State's got an easy path. They're going to beat the Gators. They're going to win out the rest of their games during the regular season. They've got the Miami Hurricanes. This team will be just fine. Louisville's not going to beat them in Charlotte for the ACC championship game. With a victory on Saturday, Georgia will be the SEC East champion. And with an Alabama victory in Lexington, Alabama would face off against Georgia in Atlanta. Alabama has got a much better chance of knocking off Georgia in Atlanta than does Louisville knocking off Florida State in Charlotte.
Agree with Amal Shaw here. They're going to be a 14-point favorite against Miami. Punch it against North Alabama. Billy Napier's going nowhere with Florida. They go to the Swamp, and then they just need to beat Louisville in the ACC championship game.
Okay, next up, Mike Palm. These are interesting questions from the big guy this week. Name someone in sports who has had more unwarranted job security than Brian Cashman.
Brian Cashman won 4 World Series titles as GM. And if you draw the line at 2009, they've still gone to the playoffs 10 out of 14 seasons. You know who's worse? Tom Telesco, the GM of the L.A. Chargers. He's been there since 2013. He's hired Mike McCoy, Anthony Lynn, and Brandon Staley. He has a total of 3 playoff appearances in 10 years, including these years with Justin Herbert, and a total of 2 playoff wins.
I'm going with Bill Belichick. He's 81-96 without Tom Brady as a starting quarterback in his career. 81-96. Let that sink in for a second. This is a man that's 15 games under 500 without Tom Brady, without Tommy Terrific. You can wipe out all those tapes that you want and those pre-game walkthroughs. Without all that, he would be nowhere.
6 Super Bowls certainly shouldn't buy you anything. Go ahead, Patrick.
It doesn't when the guy goes to Tampa and wins.
More debate. Next up, is Alabama football, Amal Shaw, is Alabama hateable anymore?
No, I never hated Alabama. Listen, I don't have disdain for Nick Saban, never did. I respect the job he's done. There's really no program in college football that I really, truly hate the way I hated Duke. And the only reason I hated Duke was because the rat. It wasn't even the players. It was simply Mike Krzyzewski. I don't think Alabama should be hated because of their greatness.
Not only are they hateable, everything that this guy Saban spawns is hateable. How about Jimbo Fisher? How they feel about him down there in Texas? Ask about the Lane Train in Southern California. There once was a coach named Mel Tucker. How about that? Sarkisian, the drunk, hated. Billy Napier, they're going to run him out of Florida. Mario Cristobal doesn't know when to take a knee. And the Mensa member, Mike Locksley. Not only is Alabama hated, everything that comes out of Alabama is hated.
Oh, hold on a second. I love the point he just made there, but the fact that all these athletic directors were stupid enough to give these coaches these buyouts that you can't get out of, they're the problem, not the people that they hired.
Choose one, Mike Palm. Appetizer or dessert?
All right, the point of the meal is the entree. The dessert cannot ruin the entree, but the appetizer can. I don't understand all these people obsessed with appetizers when they go out to eat, unless it's tapas. Dessert.
I'm going dessert as well, because the one thing in dessert, you get chocolate. That's available there at Andiamo's. That's the only good dessert they have there is the chocolate cake.
God almighty.
Okay, yeah, your favorite restaurant.
Know, I've got you 2-2 and 2 pushes, so we're tied so far.
Ludicrous.
Next up, Amal Shaw. Parameters for Coach of the Year. What are your parameters for Coach of the Year?
To me, you should evaluate the talent that is on the roster as constructed and then the team that was in existence the previous year. How much did you show improvement from that current situation? If you have a coach that went 12-5 and all of a sudden they go 14-3, I don't think they're necessarily in contention for Coach of the Year, but if you take someone like D'Amico Ryans in Houston last year, they win 2 football games or 3 football games, and now all of a sudden you're on the cusp of a playoff contender and you go 8-9, that to me is Coach of the Year.
Well, we can shorten up that soliloquy by Amal. Look, there's 2 things. How do they perform to expectations? What are the expectations? Take their regular season win total in the betting market and their division odds. The other factor is, what adversity do they have to deal with during the year?
Succinctly put, Mike Palm. Okay, we'll start with you here. Which NFL head coach quarterback combo do you trust the most right now to cover the spread?
Well, I'm going to trust what the numbers tell me, and it's Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow, your guys, that you have the Super Bowl future on. They're 31-18-1 against the spread, 63%. And if you throw the first 6 weeks of each season out, it goes up to over 75%.
I'm going to go with Jared Goff and Dan Campbell. You look at Dan Campbell's number as an underdog and what he's been able to do. 33-21 overall as a favorite. 9-5, a 64 win percentage. 24-16. Jared Goff has come into Detroit, has had a profound impact. I'm going to go with Campbell and Goff.
Okay, I worry about them all here. Little curveball. If you could see one concert of anyone, dead or alive, who would you see?
If I'm first, I'm going Michael Jackson.
You're first. Michael Jackson, how about that? Out of nowhere. That was a thriller. How about you, Mike Palm?
Well, I have to take a dead person since you don't get this opportunity in life, and I would take Frank Sinatra.
Okay, maybe trying to butter up Mike Lombardi there.
I would have said Springsteen if I was going for the Lombardi vote.
Well, one of the two. I've heard about him. Okay, let's go. What would you? We'll go another music one. Again, interesting questions here from the big guy. What would your entrance music be, Mike Palm, if you were a closer?
Well, you know, when I coached basketball, it was always Jump Around by House of Pain. What a poet Everlast is. But, you know, I'll change it up a little bit, though, and go with the classic by Chumbawamba, Tub Thumping. I think that ignites a crowd.
I'm going to go with a little bit older, so I'm not as old as Mike's Rob, but I'm going to go with The Beast by Tech N9ne.
The Beast by Tech N9ne. Okay. And so, let me see. We have one more. One's a weird one, big guy. If you were Amal Shaw, a NASCAR driver, what company would be your main sponsor? Okay. I'll play.
I don't really have a good answer for that one. I thought about this. Hey, I'm still thinking about it. I don't have an answer on that one. Mike?
I think it would be a company that embodies my values. And so I'd go with Chick-fil-A, who is a NASCAR sponsor.
Yeah. I like that answer.
Dustin, the focus of that last question, can you give me an idea of the genesis there?
I just got tired of looking at sports stories, and I've always been curious because, to me, the number one company that, and by the way, if they're listening right now, they can sponsor me in any aspect of life. I know I don't play college sports, but I'll take an NIL deal from Hostess. Hostess would be my sponsor for everything.
Okay. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 wins for Mike Palm. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 wins for Amal Shaw. I've got 1, 2, 3 pushes. Dustin, what do you have?
I've got 1, 2, 3.
4, 4, and 3.
I've got 5 for Amal. And I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Ooh,
for Mike Palm.
6-5. That's too straight.
Well, he went tub thumping.
I had it dead even.
He went tub. I couldn't go against tub thumping.
Amal had no answer.
Oh, no,
to
I gave
question.
Him tub thumping.
Yeah. Had to win tub thumping.
I gave him tub thumping.
I would have gone with
well.
Ralph Lauren, but I don't think they're looking to sponsor NASCAR with the suits.
Now, go ahead, Mike, please.
It won't be a rivalry till Amal wins one. I'll tell you that right now.
Mike, why don't you take us out with your VSiN hosting schedule the next few days?
Let's see. I'll be on Sharp Money, 3-6 Pacific today. Mitch and Paul, 6 a.m. tomorrow. Lombardi, 11:30. Back with Tim Murray tomorrow afternoon.
There it is. And this Saturday with Amal.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. I know John Coulet hates it when we talk soccer, but quickly, Champions League, Man U, who has fallen, are going to get beat by FC Copenhagen. Amal Shaw, Man U opened up 2-0 in this game. FC Copenhagen tie it up at 2-2 right before the break. Man U comes out, scores, they're up 3-2. Copenhagen have come back, and now they're up 4-3. And we can bring professional handicapper Scott Spreitzer in. Now, he doesn't care about Man U, because to give you an idea of my memory, if my memory serves me correctly, my man Scott Spreitzer, of course, Doc Sports, Scott Wins on Twitter, is a Reds fan. He's a Liverpool fan. Is that correct?
I am a Liverpool fan. You know, it got to the point, Patrick, that it was like, I still like to watch the games when I can. I started doing so much into WNBA and everything else that I just basically stopped doing soccer. You know, I mean, there's just so many leagues. It was taking me 2 hours a night because I was covering Bundesliga, EPL, Serie A, right down the, you know, La Liga, the whole thing. And I just said, all right.
A lot.
Oh, my gosh. And you know how many times, you know, and the way I like to play, I don't like to do big prices. So there were just way too many times I noticed where, you know, I'd lay $1.15 with a team and they would finish in a tie. And I just said, all right, enough's enough. I got to get back to the major sports in America, and I still do, you know, put a few bucks down here and there on the EPL, but that's pretty much the only league that I'll follow.
No, it is. It's like Amal on Saturdays and Sundays. It's hours and hours for soccer handicapping for me. But you saw it, Amal. Take a look at that scoreline, man. You should not. No offense to FC Copenhagen, they should not be losing on any stage to Copenhagen. And they were up 2-0, up 3-2, and they're going to lose 4-3 here.
I'll tell you a couple of things. First of all, you mentioned Manchester United. You know, when you think about the big clubs historically, globally, they're in the top five of all time. And FC Copenhagen's an afterthought. The fact that this game is being played in Denmark, it's going to be incredible. Marcus Rashford goes off in the 42nd minute with a red card. Huge blow to Man United's side. But the reality is, you're still Manchester United. There's no way you should be losing to a team like FC Copenhagen. I don't even know where you would rank the Danish league compared to the other leagues. I mean, there are 6-7 leagues I'm putting before them. This is just an absolute disgrace. You talk about falling off of a cliff, and there's nobody in England outside of Manchester that is shedding a tear for this team.
And there's not one of us Liverpool fans who are shedding a tear either right now, by the way.
Okay.
Oh, when they go outside the EPL and lose to a team they shouldn't. And listen, we're kind of happy about Chelsea being way down on the table. And we're kind of happy that Man U isn't playing great soccer these days. And so, again, I'm not shedding a tear that Man City's, you know, having a rough time.
I'm sure you're not. By the way, the quote to start the segment with Scott Sprite, you're never going to hear me say, I got way too involved in WNBA, so I had to give up the soccer. Okay. Now, that gives you an idea of a professional handicapper, because when we started talking to Scott a decade ago, you were going heavy with the CFL, Canadian football. I don't know if you still go as heavy there, but you're always looking for inefficiencies. And I remember back in the day, Canadian football was a big time thing for you.
After last week, Patrick, 27-12 the last 39 CFL playoff bets. So
wow.
I haven't done my handicapping for this week's games yet, but I do CFL from day one. You know, I start following it, looking at what's going on in those, you know, two preseason games that they play usually in early June, and CFL's been big. WNBA, I just found that what I like to do is I like to look for betting opportunities where it's more situational than anything else. And the three-way betting was just started kind of driving me out of my brain there for a little while in soccer, especially in, you know, I did a lot of international soccer. I didn't do a lot of MLS back when we were talking soccer. But WNBA, CFL, NBA, NFL, so situational to me. And I love that, you know.
Patrick, one of the reasons I think, and I don't want to speak for Scott here, but I think one of the advantages of betting the WNBA or even women's college basketball when you get into the tournament is they're not able to, and when I say they, meaning the odds makers, are not necessarily able to quantify the differential in talent well enough. Perfect example, yesterday or 2 days ago in women's college basketball on Monday, we saw South Carolina playing Notre Dame in Germany. The line was 11 on this one. South Carolina, top five team in college basketball, Notre Dame top 15. Ivy, who plays for the Detroit Pistons, his mom is the head coach at Notre Dame. They get beat by 30. I mean, they're winning the first quarter and a half, and then they get beat by 30. And I think that's what you see, Scott, in the WNBA. There's so many games that be tight, and then all of a sudden the better teams just pull away. There's so many advantages on some of the numbers. And I agree with Scott. Like, I still bet soccer like an idiot because I can't win with tomorrow's newspaper. But the reality of it is, you and I, Patrick, we love the sport. Yeah. I mean, I love it. I don't have to look at the time. I can look at the game time, and I know it's 43. Okay, that means it's 1:43 Pacific time.
And I do love the sport, by the way. You know, I really do. It just became a point where it was, you know, it was costing me money. It was costing people I talked to every day money a little bit too often. Like I said, you'd have a 1-0 lead and you'd have 8 minutes of extra time. You end up 1-1 and you lose. So it became a situation where, listen, also the CFL and the WNBA, you're talking about a lot less time handicapping every week. You know, you got four games a week basically in the CFL, and you got at the most usually four games a day in the WNBA, if not fewer games. So it's a lot easier to get your mind right right and not be like overwhelmed by 70 games in 18 different leagues, you know.
Plus, Patrick, you know this in the FA Cup and some of these nonsensical tournaments, you got like the Liverpool under 19 squad out there. There's no Mo Salah. There's no Virgil van Dijk.
No, 100%. And speaking of which, Scott, we were joking yesterday. Our colleague put out a five, as you know, our buddy puts out a 5-hour, Greg Hoops Peterson, a 5-hour college basketball preview for a day. So we were clowning a little bit with that. But in reality for you, I can't imagine a busier time. Now, you're nocturnal, so my assumption is you're going to be staying up all night. But how about starting to mix the college basketball into your handicapping along with all of the football, the NBA, and the rest?
I started basketball college handicapping a month before the season began, and yet still, I began Sunday night because we had, what, about 150 games on Monday. And I sat there on Sunday. I started about 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. I got done about 5 a.m. Pacific time. And so, you know, I mean, you start prepping, but you got to go back and you got to find out who's hurt and who's not. You know, there's a game tonight. Lipscomb's playing tonight against Drake. I think it's about 15 and a half, 16. So yesterday I'm just sitting there and I'm going, well, I know they lost to Wichita, but they got a game under their belt talking about Lipscomb. And, you know, Drake hasn't played yet. Drake with a nice season last year. And I'm thinking, man, if this team's, you know, got everybody on the court, I can take all those points. Started looking, you know, their best player didn't play last game against Wichita, which we knew about that. He's got a knee injury. And, you know, as the, when I closed the books last night at about 2 o'clock in the morning Pacific time for today's games, it was at the point where I was like, man, I'm not taking a chance with Lipscomb, who's got one player.
Yeah, and I'm on Drake first half, Scott.
There you go. I don't blame you, man. And he's listed as a game time decision now, but I don't want to take a shot when you got a team that, you know, has seriously one really good player. And I'm reading write-ups last night. I want to tell people to be very careful and do your own homework. I read a couple of the write-ups last night that not only mentioned this great player for Lipscomb, who they didn't even know that he didn't play against Wichita, they also talked about one of their top players from last year, a defensive player and rebounder, who's no longer on the team. And so I tell people all the time, man, you got to be so careful. Don't trust anything you read, man. You got to dig into that info yourself. I'm sitting there texting back and forth with Dave Koken at 1 a.m. going, I can't find any news on, you know, this guy for Lipscomb. And he's like, I can't either. Well, finally, after digging and digging, I found that he wasn't going to play. But like I said, now I hear he's a game time decision. But I like Dustin's play. I like about everything. Sorry about that. About everything Dustin gives out. And if he's on Drake first half, I would say lean that way, definitely.
You also mentioned about the information. Mm-hmm. And look, I'm not calling anybody out in particular, but with how much, like, change and turnover is happening right now in college basketball and college football, Amal Shaw, with the transfer portal. I've read write-ups recently by reputable sources where they're talking about players that no longer reside in the same city they discuss. It's insane.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. That's the biggest challenge now. For example, for myself, I use our VSiN guide, and then I use Blue Ribbon, which is kind of like the Bible of college basketball for a long time. You do that, but then I'm stuck also going to the team websites, because even with Blue Ribbon, as good as they are, these things are compiled going up to about September. And so now you're looking at a situation, if somebody else just transferred, so many different situations. So many of these teams now have just been, their rosters have been completely disintegrated, and it's almost like a rebuild. And so you have to pay attention to that. To me, the best place to go is look at the team's website, like USC, for example. You go to the USC.edu or whatever and sports, and then you look at the Trojans, who they played in their exhibition games. Did Boogie Ellis play? Who else played in those games? Did Isaiah Collier play? Those are all going to be factors as you get ready before the season really gets going a week or two in.
One more thing you could do, by the way, guys, and I didn't look at it last night for today, which was a dumb move by me. You talked about Greg Peterson and the Greg Peterson experience. I know in the past, you know, every year since I've known him, he does that show, and he'll put on his Twitter feed each time slot of where he talked about a certain game. And I'm sitting there thinking about it now. I was like, I could have just got, because I've never known him to miss anything when it comes to a player missing or whatever. The guy is sick when it comes to the information he has on college basketball and the amount of time I don't think he sleeps and yet works. So that's another thing. Go to Peterson's, his Twitter page, and you can find that out too. Those timestamps.
Yep. No, you nailed it. And Big Guy, did you, We got to play from Scott coming back as far as college football tonight. We've got college basketball tonight. Of course, we've got the NFL. I've got plenty I want to ask him. But did you want to just repeat that college basketball play you had tonight?
Yeah, I'm on Drake first half laying 9 points against Lipscomb. I know, as Scott mentioned, they played Wichita already. They got blown out. When you look at Drake, Tucker DeVries is back, preseason player of the year there in the WVC. They also return another guy, the center, Darnell Brody. But more importantly, they've brought in a bunch of transfers. Kyron Gibson, UT Arlington, 11-4-1 last year for them. Brought in Aiton Wright, who is a two-time All-Big West honorable mention at CSUN, almost 17 points a game. And then also brought in the Patriot League freshman of the year from Army, Ethan Roberts. He averaged 12-4-1. I think they're a pretty loaded team, and they've got the best player on the floor. I think they get out fast. They run a fast-tempo offense. They're going to score a lot early. I don't think Lipscomb can hang.
Want to analyze that cap, Amal, quickly?
Yeah, Wright comes over from Northridge. They couldn't win a basketball game. He's going to be popping bottles tonight after the first win of the season.
We've got Maction tonight. College football back with Scott Spritzer next.